I want to say that I'm thankful that you're here tonight and pray that God blesses us in our gathering. We're going to look at a verse of Scripture from the 45th chapter of Isaiah and verse 22. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I hope you've gotten to this particular chapter of Isaiah 45 and verse 2, where God says clearly, look unto me and be ye saved. In this particular verse of Scripture, God presents Himself as a saving God. One of the scholars that I frequently read after, he says, contained in this one verse, if presented properly, is enough to save the whole world. This passage is a pivotal passage of the Old Testament, indicating clearly God's desire to save all. If you look at the context of this particular passage of Scripture, it's set in the context of Him declaring His sovereignty before all the nations. The context of this passage is that the people of Israel were instructed at the end of their Babylonian captivity to gather all the people that had been captured by Nebuchadnezzar, and before the disbursement by Cyrus, and his name is mentioned in verse 1 in the last verse of the previous chapter. I mean, he hadn't even been born yet, but God says this man will release the nations that had been gathered by Nebuchadnezzar. And we know what Nebuchadnezzar did. He gathered the best of the best from all different nations of the world. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, for the most part, had conquered the world. And as he went around all these towns and cities and communities and nations, he gathered the best and brought them into Babylon. We frequently read about Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, but Nebuchadnezzar did not just gather the most favored and the most wise and the most blessed in appearance, young men from Jerusalem, but he gathered them from the entire world. And he began to educate them and cause them to understand different languages where they would be bilingual and understand things. Now, we know that Israel was there because of their sins, but God was fulfilling a greater purpose than that. Those of us that have been studying the book of Isaiah on Wednesday night, we understand that God was doing much more than that. And so, in this passage, they are called upon, and you can notice in the earlier verse, verse 20, when they are about to be dispersed back to their homeland. Now keep in mind, they've all been educated in the same language. They understand this language, and they also understand the language where they grew up. Okay. Now, there are all these different young men, all the wisest and the brightest, and I suppose that Nebuchadnezzar had gathered all these young men into his kingdom for the purpose of prestige, but God chose to use it for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gathers them, and he says, this is what you're to do. When Cyrus says you can all go home, all right? You're to gather them all together and you're to preach them this sermon that they might go home and tell others about the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ. Now the Apostle Paul in the 14th chapter of Romans quotes the very next verse and he connects it with Jesus Christ, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that who is Lord? Who is Lord? Y'all awake? Jesus is Lord. So contained in these verses was the gospel of salvation. He was to gather all these different nations together there in the end before they were dispersed to go home. It almost sounds like Pentecost, right? It almost sounds like Pentecost. They were all gathered together and they were to be told that God, the God of Israel, is a saving God. And that His salvation would come through His Son. Now, God has presented Himself as a God that saves. That's important. Look unto me and be ye saved. In Hebrews, we read clearly that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For those that come to God must believe that He is. You must believe that there is a God. You must believe that He is a God that's able to save. He's not only a God that's able to save, but He will save as such that will seek Him. Earlier in this chapter, you'll find where it says that Jacob, that nobody has ever sought the Lord in vain. No one has ever sought the Lord in vain. Because God is a God that wants to save such as seek Him. He is not only a God that saves, but He says He will save those that diligently seek Him. And so we read in these verses that God calls on these folks to come to Him. All the different nations of the world are assembled there. You can read there in verse 20 where they're assembled. They're drawn near. They're about to go back to their homeland. Now keep in mind, okay, while they were in Babylon, there was a lot of glorious things that went on that displayed the power of God. A lot of things that went on that displayed the power of God. We know the situation with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know about Daniel and his deliverance. We know about Nebuchadnezzar declaring that God, the God of Israel, that He is the true God. A lot of powerful demonstrations of God's glory that occurred in all of these young, brilliant, bright, best of the best men, these prestigious young men of well-learning, were able to see all that and witness all that. And suddenly, once Babylon had collapsed, Cyrus was reigning, he says, "You guys can go home." But before they went home, God, by the prophet Isaiah, said, "Bring them all together and tell them that the God of Israel is a God that will save them. I am the God that saves. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth." Now that's very important. Now it's clear to see that in these particular passages of Scripture, that God displays His sovereignty. He says it in this verse, "There's no other God but me. There's none else but me." He says the same thing in verse 3 and verse 5 and verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 12, verse 14, verse 18, verse 21, and in verse 22. He is the true God. He is the God that rules and reigns. Our God is a sovereign God. He has complete rule and complete dominion over all things of the earth. But I want you to notice something in the chapter where He displays His sovereignty. And let me say this, every time that God displays His sovereignty regarding people getting saved, it is never exclusive, it is always inclusive. I know that sounded very technical, but let me just make that clear. Sometimes people come along and they talk about God's sovereignty in that some folks cannot be saved, but God never does that about Himself. Every single time He displays His sovereignty regarding salvation, He makes salvation available to all people. In other words, when we get into the book of Romans, He tries to tell the Jews, "I have the sovereign right to offer salvation to everyone. I'm God." It is never, never, ever, ever exclusive. It's always inclusive. Now listen, when we preach the Word of God, we need to preach it the way God has declared Himself. His sovereignty is displayed here. And so we've got universal sovereignty as a God that saves, that's willing to save all nations. To all the nations at the very ends of the earth, God is willing and wants to save. I believe by His sovereignty and according to His divine providence, He brought all those people together in Babylon, got them to understand the same language, told them the truth and displayed His glory, and sent them back to share the good news that Jesus saves. The true God wants all men everywhere to be saved. Now, let me say this though, let me back up. Not only must you believe there is a God, but you must come to the true God through the only source of salvation that there is. Jesus Christ is the only source of salvation. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for God, and we plead with you through God, for Christ's sake, be ye reconciled unto God. So, the means by which you come to God in salvation is through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. I think that's very, very important. Salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. There's no other way to be reconciled to the true, holy, righteous, only God. And He is the only God there is. He mentions in these same passages that He is the God. Verse 12, He says, I'm the God that created this world. I'm the God that hung the stars in the heaven. I'm the God brought these things together on the earth. I'm the God of righteousness. I'm the God that's in control. There's only one God, and it's me, He says, over and over and over again. There is none else but this true God. But to be saved through this true God, you must come through Jesus Christ, who is the only Savior. Look unto me. Now, I believe the word look. I could spend all night just talking to you about what it means to look to God. There are a lot of things. It's looking with expectation that He can save you and that He will save you. It's looking to God, believing that this Jesus that hung on the cross of Calvary died for you. Just a few years ago, I was helping in revival in Mount Lebanon. And there was a 60-year-old woman that sat on the back seat, 60-something-year-old. I preached that night that Jesus died for you. Just a very simple sermon. She got under conviction. She fell between the seats, called on the Lord, and got saved. Jumped up, got it testifying about the saving work of God in her heart. And she said, I've gone to church most of my life. I believed in the birth of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. She said, I've heard people talk about Jesus and His words and all that He did, but no one in all of my life has ever told me that Jesus died for me. And I thought about that, and I said, right up there in Allen County. I mean, not Allen County, Warren County, I guess it is. Bowling Green. All them preachers that I know, my best friends live in that county. All those sound churches. No one, I mean, preaching's on the radio, preaching's on the TV. Nobody has ever told her that Jesus died for her. When Sharon was seeking the Lord, one Sunday she came in and she was in trouble and she said, what if I'm not one of the elect? And I said to her, and I don't know if you remember now, Sharon, I said, that right there is enough doubt that you will never be saved. Our souls and our minds and our lives are encompassed with doubt. I believe that you need to realize that Jesus died for you. He died to save you. Look unto me. With expectation, believing that He will save you and that He died for you. I had a close friend in Memphis. He pastored a Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Raleigh. A typical Sovereign Grace, you know, they don't give invitations to come to the altar and seek the Lord. A lot of folks, you know, that go in different communities and can't find a sound church, I'll say, well, you might be able to find some sound preaching in these churches to a degree. I said, but you're going to have to take your children home and tell them that Jesus died for them, because they won't hear that at that church. The only book that we get our doctrine from is this Bible. Okay? Men can deceive you. They can trip you up. Okay? We need to make sure that our doctrines come from the Word of God. Augustus Strong Most of us familiar with Strong's notes wrote, "The Scriptures present the atonement as having been made for all men and as sufficient for the salvation of all." Amen. I believe that. Listen, I want to caution you about something. You need to make sure that what you believe is found in the Word of God. I mentioned Jack Dulupishan, the pastor at Raleigh. He had a daughter that was a teenager that had never been saved. Didn't even try to get saved. Had concluded in her mind that she didn't have Christ as her Savior. Had got in her mind and heart she wasn't one of the elect. And I was like, "Jack, tell your daughter that Jesus died for her." He said, "I can't do it. I don't know. I just don't know." I wanted to take that young teenager and I wanted to just shake her, look her in the eyes, say, "Young lady, Jesus Christ died for all. And He died for you. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Well, I'll tell you what. Most of you know the first book I've ever read is the Bible. I believe in basing my doctrine and teaching upon the Bible. Okay? So let's just go over a few passages of Scripture and let's find out, did Jesus die for all? Is He a Savior for all of mankind? Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all." Everybody say all. "All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, those of you that grew up in this church and came on Wednesday nights, you've heard me over and over and over again say that all means all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that was the argument of the Apostle Paul. If all died, all be resurrected. All means all is what Paul was saying. Jesus Christ said that He came to save all. They could come unto Him. All that are heavy laden with sin. Are folks heavy laden with sin? All that are heavy laden with sin can come and find relief in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, "The Spirit of the bride says, come. He that heareth says, come. He that is athirst, let him come." Let him come. "And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely." I believe that all can come. We need to tell everybody that it's a whosoever will. Not only does all mean all, but whosoever will means whosoever will. The point I'm trying to drive home in your heart and mind tonight is that Jesus Christ died for you. And my prayer is that as we read in Romans chapter 10, we preach, and hearing the preaching of God's word, we pray that a seed of faith would swell up in your heart. We might believe to the saving of your soul. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Bible makes clear there in the 10th chapter how we are striving to tell people, trying to encourage people how to seek the Lord, to trust in Jesus. And we need to tell them that He died for all of them. You know, in Romans chapter 14 and verse 15, He's talking about us not offending those that are out there in the world, that we make sure that we live lives like Christians, because He tells us clearly if we don't, how we're going to destroy them by the way we live. And He makes reference in Romans chapter 14 and verse 15 to meat or doing things that could cause an offense to set up in their heart and mind. And He says this clearly, for whom those folks Jesus died for. He died for the lost of this world. In 1 Corinthians 8 and 11, He says, "Be careful that some weak brother of yours, some friend of yours, doesn't perish by the way you live your life." We need to be the light of the world. Amen? We need to point people to Jesus. Our lives ought to be a reflection of the redemption and salvation of God. And so Paul says, be very careful in the way you live your life. In 1 Corinthians 8 and 11, lest something happens. What will happen? These people, they'll die and go to hell if they don't believe in Jesus Christ. And He says you need to walk carefully among them, circumspectly among them, because He says this in 1 Corinthians 8 and 11, for whom Christ died. He died for them. Jesus said, John chapter 5 and verse 40, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Why doesn't people have eternal life? It's because they do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not God's fault you're not saved. It's your fault. We read over and over again. I could go through all those Old Testament passages of scriptures that build up into the New Testament. But Peter, when he was preaching in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, he perceived that God is of no respecter of persons. You know what that phrase, no respecter of persons, which Paul also used in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9 and Colossians chapter 3 and verse 25. It means that there is no special standing grace for some that's not available for all. That's what it means. No special grace for the standing of some that's not available for all. God is of no respecter of persons. This is a teaching of the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. The Lord says, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." How about the wicked, that they would turn from their ways? That they would turn from their ways and live. And he says, turn ye from your evil ways. Why will you die? And I'll just put on the, in addition to that, why will you die lost in your sins? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any, everybody say any, any should perish, but that all, everybody say all should come to repentance. God cannot stand and offer salvation to people that he doesn't intend to give it to when they repent of their sins and believe in Jesus. Couldn't do it. Be a lie. Preacher preached the other night about Cain. God said to Cain, if you'll come with the right offering, a blood offering that points to my son Jesus Christ, because without the shedding of blood there is no remission. He says, if you'll come in the right way, Cain, you can be saved. Didn't he say that? But he didn't. God is saying that to you tonight. If you'll come to Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Well, I could go on and on and on. I will. All right. Let's go to the book of Genesis. The promise to Abraham. We're familiar with that. God said to Abraham, of thy seed. And this is Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. Some of you folks need to be writing these verses down. Okay. Of your seed, all the families of the world will be blessed. How can they all be blessed? It's because all of them have the opportunity to be saved by the grace of God. You can tell your children, Jesus died for you. You can tell your spouse, Jesus died for you. You can tell your husband, Jesus died for you. And every other member of your family, because the God of heaven sent the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the seed, the promised seed that he was talking about in that passage of scripture. And that seed that he was talking about there was Jesus. And through Jesus, every family of the world can be saved. Amen. Oh, I pray that that faith that's needed, like that woman needed that night when I preached Jesus died for all, would swell up in your heart. You realize that Jesus died for you. He came to save you. He came to deliver you. You can look to God and be saved. All the ends of the earth, anybody at any place at any time can look to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I've been receiving correspondence from Libya through Brother Bryson of some things I wrote about how to be saved, and they've been publishing the papers, and people from Libya are writing me and want to know more about being saved, and they have curiosity. Listen, I believe God wants to save. I believe it's a universal offer to all men. I believe the blood of Jesus is a universal provision. Why do I believe that? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. He says the love of God constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all. Now he's talking about Jesus. Jesus died for all. Everybody say all. I mean, He died for all. That's what it says. That's what I believe. Jesus died for all. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. I quoted this last Sunday. I also quoted Romans chapter 10 where he quoted Old Testament passages. Listen, this is even something that was proclaimed in the Old Testament, that God is a Savior for all. Whosoever believeth in me shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Romans 10, they're Old Testament quotes. God wants to save whosoever will. Now listen, when you get to thinking that all doesn't mean all and whosoever will doesn't mean whosoever will, if somebody tells you when it says world, it really doesn't mean world, it means something else, you need to evaluate your thinking. All means all, whosoever means whosoever will, and the world means the world. I quoted this one Sunday. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I write these things that you sin not. But if any man sin, he have an advocate of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 1, verse 2. That's what the Bible says. That's what we as Baptists need to believe. I also quoted Sunday Hebrews 2 and 9. But we see Jesus. Oh man, I could go back there. I got to hurry up, okay? I need to stop, but at the same time, I've got many, many, many more. I've not even gotten to the Old Testament good yet. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. This is Bible. This isn't Tim. This is God's holy word. Listen, my friend, our doctrine needs to come from the Word of God. Made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus tasted death. He died for all. Not convinced yet? 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved? Is that what it says? Look at it. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between the man and God, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Say all. All. By divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we read in our Bible that Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. All means all. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 51, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. If any person, any man, eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That, what does it say? Whosoever. Whosoever. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Verse 17 of John chapter 3 says, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, everybody say world, that the world, you realize the extensiveness of our commission to preach to every breathing, living human being is so intense that in the book of Mark, we are told in the Great Commission to preach to every creature. And then what it says in Mark 16? Why are we commissioned to preach to all? Tell them that Jesus is the Savior of the world? Because all can be saved. All can be saved. He said that he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world might be saved. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14. You need to be writing these verses down. We have seen and do testify. Man, this is what we know. This is the early church. This is the first century church. Man, this is what we know. This is what we tell people about. This is what we testify to the world. What do we testify, early church? He says, we testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's what we preach still today, amen? That's what the early church preached. That's what we need to be preaching and testifying of today. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, he was talking about false prophets. He was talking about false teachers, those that teach and preach damnable heresies. And he says that they're preaching and teaching things that deny the Lord that bought them. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. In the book of Thessalonians, it says the Lord's going to come with vengeance, and he's going to execute those vengeance upon those who obey not the gospel. That's what it says. They're going to perish and go to hell because they did not receive and respond to the gospel that the church has been preaching. That's what it says. And even false teachers and false prophets and those that teach and preach false doctrine, he talks about in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 that there's this swift destruction awaiting them, but Jesus died for them. He bought them. He paid the price for their sins on Golgotha's tree. They could be saved. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, for there we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men. He is the Savior for all men. But He's especially the Savior for those of us that believed. Two groups. The ones that have believed, the ones that have not believed, and He's the Savior of both. Praise God. That's why God long ago said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Whosoever will, you can come and drink of the living water. God is of no respecter of persons. Jesus died on the cross for all men. God gave His Son to save the world. He's the bread of life to give life to the world. To the world. Praise God. All right, Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Are y'all, you want me to keep going? All right, well, Titus chapter 2. I knew you'd say amen. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. He talks about the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared or been presented to all men. All men can be saved. Salvation has been presented to everyone. They can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Listen, you don't get saved unless you get the righteousness of God, which comes by faith. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that righteousness is the righteousness that comes by faith. He says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all. Everybody say all. It's unto all. Available to everybody. Unto all. The righteousness which is by faith is unto all and upon. Everybody say upon. Okay? It's available to everybody. But the righteousness is only really upon those that believe. Amen? And he says, notice here, and there is no difference. There is no difference. I go on. Jesus said, John chapter 12, I'm going to try to bring this close. John chapter 12, verse 47, if a man hears my word and believe not, if you don't hear me and believe in me, Jesus said, I'm not here to judge you. He said, I didn't come to judge the world. He said, but I came that the world, everybody say world. John chapter 12, verse 47, I came that the world might be saved. But he said, he that does reject me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. You will be judged and condemned to a devil's hell because you did not believe in the Savior that died for you.
people, you know, I was talking about those false prophets and 2 Peter. Listen, people don't go to hell for believing false doctrine. They go to hell because they've not trusted in Jesus. It's the sin of unbelief. In John chapter 3, for goodness sakes, read what Jesus said. The wrath of God abides upon people because they have not believed. They're condemned and under condemnation because they've not believed in the only begotten Son of God. That's why they go to hell. That's why they'll be judged, condemned. And that's what Jesus said in John 12 and 48. Listen, folks, the time of this ignorance God has winked at. But He has commanded all men, Acts 12, 30, preaching of the Apostle Paul. He's commanded all men everywhere, that's every person, to repent. Jesus said, here's the way it is. Luke chapter 13, you either repent or you perish. All right, let's go back. I guess I've given you enough. If you want more, just see me later. I got more. I need to stop there. Let's go back to Isaiah 45. Let me ask you folks something again. Where do we get our doctrinal teaching from? What the Bible says. Surely the things that I presented to you tonight is enough of God's holy word to convince you this is Bible doctrine. Look unto me. I believe the word look in the Hebrew also is the word turn. You can't really look to Jesus to be your Savior unless you turn from your sins. Just can't do it. You got to turn from your sins in order to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So look means to pray. Get a song ready, Aaron. About done. To get before the Lord and seek Him and pray, it means pray. You need to pray and seek the Lord. Looking to God means repentance and faith and calling upon the Lord. Looking unto to God to be your Savior means you need to come in faith. You need to come committed to following the Lord. I don't believe people can come looking to God without come and receiving all that salvation offers. If you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Him. All encompassed and all entailed in God's saving grace, you must be willing to embrace when you come looking. Yeah. Yeah. Look means not only looking in faith and in believing, but also in expecting. Our God is a God that saves. He's in the verse previous, verse 21, Isaiah 45. I'm not getting much past looking, am I? He says, read it there, verse 21. Now, we're talking to all the nations of the world that have suddenly become bilingual to be able to go back to their country and tell this good news about a God that saves, who worked miracle after miracle and after miracle in Babylon and brought Babylon down. And 120 years earlier, named the very man that would release them. Wow. Only God can do stuff like that. There is none else but Him. Stand to your feet. Let's sing a song. Listen, you need to come believing. Looking in faith. Believing that He will save you. That He is your Savior. That He died for you. I'm telling you tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary for you. Died on the cross of Calvary for you. Listen, you don't have anywhere else to go for salvation but to Him. There is none else. When you need power to transform and change your life, you need to go to Him that has all power in heaven and earth. When you need to be a new creation in Christ Jesus, where that old things are passed away and all things become new, you must go to the One who created this world. He's the true God and there is none else. Listen, when you need mercy, and forgiveness and grace. There's no other God to go to but the God who is of all mercy. Of His mercies there is no end. And He is a God of great grace. He is a God of great forgiveness. I am the God that forgives. reconciles, and restores. Listen, you're going to have to look to the only one who can save you. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved but Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the true God. Amen. All right, let's sing. Let's sing. Man, let's sing. Go ahead. Get a song. If you want to be raptured up in the glory of the saints, you got to go to the God that has Shekinah glory. And there is none else but Him. Amen. Yeah. When you want hope, amazing, wonderful, profound, remarkable hope, you need to go to the God of all hope. When you need comfort, He is the God of all comfort, the Bible says. There is none else. Listen, you have nowhere else to go. No one else to look to. He's the only one that can save you. You need to go to God tonight. Don't go to man. Don't go to people around you. Go to God and He will save you. Let's sing. Let's sing. He is a God that saves. Somebody here tonight need to be saved. My friend, you need purity. He's the only one that's pure. You need the holiness. The kind of holiness of which if a man doesn't have, he will not see God. Jesus said, "Be holy as I am holy." You need holiness to get to heaven. He is the God that is holy, and there is none else. I'm thankful tonight He's a God that does not change. He's consistent. His immutability gives us great comfort, great consolation. You can come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, who died for you, who will save you from your sins if you will look and live. God help. Listen, the Bible says He is a God of wrath. He is a God of judgment. Listen, my friend, you need to be justified in the sight of God, and there's only one God that is just. There is none else. You need a God of peace? Ah, my friend, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He has a peace. This God that's a God of peace has a peace that passes all understanding. You need to go to the true God, for there is none else. Man, if you need love, there's only one God that loves. I mean, He is a God full of love. God is love. We understand that He is a God of love, that He sent His only begotten Son to give Himself a propitiation for us. Praise God. He will save you. Amen. Appreciate you listening to me tonight. He is a God that saves. Amen. Look unto me. Be saved, all ye ends of the earth. You know, I don't know if I'll ever get those people in Libya to understand what I was trying to write, but I can get on my knees and pray that the Holy Spirit will save them. Amen. Yeah. People around the world need Jesus. Listen, folks, we need to go out and offer Jesus to them, because Jesus died for all.